Let's turn now to the heavenly manna, Revelation 12. God's word is the bread of life. Revelation 12. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert, to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Verse 14 is our text this morning. The woman, it's symbolic for the church. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. May God bless this word and build up our faith by it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Israel's journey through the desert, through the wilderness to the promised land, was not an easy one, filled with all kinds of toils and troubles and temptations. But it was a successful journey. Israel made it to the promised land. Why? God was with them. He was with them in the tabernacle. He led them by the cloudy pillar, step by step, day by day. He fed them with manna from heaven. He gave them water to drink from the rock. And he did so until they arrived safely home to the promised land. And now that's the picture Jesus uses for the New Testament church, the church of the New Covenant in the book of Revelation. We are his bride, that beautiful woman dressed in the garment of sun, with moon slippers and a crown of 12 stars, representing the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. We're in the wilderness. We're in the desert. On the way to paradise, on the way to heaven. But in the desert, tribulation and trial and trouble and temptation. Lots of troubles. Lots of problems. There's no way we could ever arrive safely, arrive alive, except for this. The Lord goes with us. And he protects us till we reach paradise. As Jesus promised, "I'm with you always to the close of the age." And in this passage, we see that the Lord takes care of us. He does three things for us while we're in the desert, while we're in the wilderness, traveling to the promised land. He gives us eagle wings, eagle's wings. He gives us a special place of refuge. And he gives us nourishment. Or he gives us power, he gives us a place, and he gives us provision. Those three things. How he cares for his church in the wilderness. He gives us power, place, and a provision. He gives us power. The power of eagle's wings. After the seventh trumpet sounds, announcing the return of Christ, there's a pause in the movie. The movie that, in symbolic language in Revelation, tells about the victory of the church of Christ and her arrival in heaven. There's a pause and a rewind. And in chapters 12 through 14, a rewind to review all of church history. It's a story in three chapters of how the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. The kingdom of this world, the kingdom of Satan that opposes God and his word and Christ and his church, will be one day utterly destroyed, overcome, overpowered, and will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And this whole world would just be Jesus' kingdom everywhere, in everybody, wherever you look, because the kingdom of this world will be thrown into hell, destroyed, overpowered. But how does it get there? And that's what chapters 12 through 14 are all about in this church history review. In the beginning of the review, we see two signs in heaven. The first sign of a pregnant woman representing the church of the Old Testament, pregnant with the promised Christ. A male child named Jesus is about to be born from her, from Israel of the Old Covenant. There's another sign, an enormous red dragon who represents Satan, who's waiting to gobble up that child, wants to destroy that male child as soon as he's born. But God protects the child, snatches him up to heaven, and he's there on the throne today. Jesus is ruling all the nations, and Satan is thrown out of heaven by Jesus' angels. And he's thrown down to the earth. That's the good news for the church. Though Satan's bothering us here, he no longer has a place in our heavenly home. That's where our citizenship is now. He no longer, and his angels, the demons, no longer have a place in heaven. Instead of Satan being there in God's presence to accuse us, Jesus is there to defend us right now. Oh, but Satan is furious, and that's where this woman in the desert comes in. We're that woman. After Jesus ascended, Satan said, well, I can't get him anymore. I'm going after his people. He goes after the apostles and the churches that Jesus gives birth to through their ministry, the apostles and their spiritual offspring. And he's furious. He lost the war. The throne of the nations is no longer his. Jesus has it. Jesus rules. Satan doesn't. And all he can do now is go after Jesus' followers on earth. And he's in all-out war mode against the church, against us. Not because he thinks he can win, but because he knows he's lost the battle. He's angry. He's lost. Jesus is Lord and Satan is not. And that's where we come in Revelation 12, verse 14. We're that woman fleeing into the desert to get away from Satan and his persecutions, his opposition. He can't destroy the church, but he's doing his best to do all the damage he can possibly do to her before the end comes. Before Christ comes back to judge the living and the dead. He's doing all in his power to damage her, to damage us. And that's why Peter says in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, watch out, be alert, be vigilant. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's after us. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. He can't destroy Christ's people, but he's sure going to try to inflict as much damage on the body of Christ as he can. Watch out. So there she is fleeing into the wilderness. And the Lord gave her, notice that verse 14, the two wings of the great eagle, so that she might flee from the serpent into the wilderness. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. If we fled in our own strength from the devil, he'd overtake us, gobble us up. But the Lord doesn't leave us during this time, wilderness time, between Jesus' ascension and the arrival of his people into heaven with him in the promised land, the paradise of God. He doesn't leave us on our own. He gives us wings. The eagle's wing, or the eagle, is known for its strength and the length of its wingspan. Bald eagles have been seen, pictured, to be carrying as much as 15 pounds of meat. The fawn of a mule deer, one was recently pictured carrying. Very strong. And this is a picture of the Lord rescuing Israel from Egypt. Pharaoh is called the great dragon. In Ezekiel 29, verse 3, Pharaoh's called the great dragon, the king of Egypt. And he's chasing after the people of Israel with a great army. And he's out to destroy her. But the Lord took her on eagle's wings, took Israel through the Red Sea into the desert, gave her manna from heaven and water from the rock, defended her against the Amalekites and brought her to Mount Sinai. And he said when they got there, I've carried you here on eagle's wings. And it's used again in the book of Isaiah. You know this. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. It's God's promise of power, special strength in the wilderness, to flee from Satan's assaults. That's strength for us every day. The strength of eagle's wings. When the church gets weary, she waits on the Lord. She trusts in the Lord. She puts her hope in the Lord. We call on Jesus, help me, help me. And the Lord renews our strength. God, who gave up his son for us on the cross, will surely hear our cry. He loves us so much when we ask for his help in this time of trouble. Psalm 138, there's a great promise. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. On the day I called, the very same day, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. Maybe you didn't actually give to me what I was expecting, but you gave to me better than what I was expecting, different, higher. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Isn't that why we're here? Lord, my rest in Jesus is being assaulted by the evil one and all his temptations. I was discussing that with somebody yesterday. When the devil fires his shots at you and he meets up with the sin that lives in you, that's a powerful combination, a deadly combination. Satan and the sin that still lives within you. But he gives us eagle's wings to overcome that power of sin. And in the strength of Christ, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength to carry on. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Dear Christians, there may yet be a lot of wilderness between here and heaven. The church does not live in a 5-star resort. She lives in the desert, in the place of dangers, toils, and snares. And we need the Lord's help every day, and the Lord promises to help us, to give us strength. Let's call in his name. Put on the full armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, says the Bible. There's enough power in your God to satisfy your need and your weakness and all the problems you face and lift you up. So you mount up on wings like eagles and you're brought all the way home. It's God's strength, not yours. It's God's strength. Then he gave her, secondly, a place in the wilderness. The woman flew from the serpent. She fled into the wilderness, to the desert, to the place where she is nourished, to the place. To the place prepared for her in the desert. And if you go back to verse 6, Revelation 12, verse 6, we read about that place earlier. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God. What's the place? What is that place today prepared for us by God in the wilderness? Where's that safe place? Well, we know it's not a specific geographical location in the Middle East or in Africa or in Asia. For the church is scattered into little congregations all over the globe. Already in the day of Revelation, when Revelation was written, the church was found in Palestine, Africa, Syria, Asia Minor, Eastern Europe, a place prepared. What was that? It was the church. The people of God met together, especially on the Lord's Day, at other times too. They met together on the Lord's Day. They heard the word of God together. They prayed together. They broke bread together. And that was the place prepared for her in the desert. We already see that in the Old Testament in the wilderness. What was the place of safety? It was the camp of Israel. You just didn't go off wandering on your own and say, well, the Lord is with me. No, you were joined to the camp because it's in the camp. The camp couldn't save you, but it's in the camp where God manifested his presence and bless them. So also today, we are the camp of God's people, the communion of the saints, the gathering of his children. It never fails. Those who stay closely connected to the church of Jesus, to the body of Christ, are strengthened and nourished in their faith. Those who drift away from the church, lose their way and lose their faith, never fails. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep your connection to the congregation strong. The place God has prepared for you in the desert. Your connection to the saints, but your connection also to the gathering of the saints for worship, for the word, for prayer, for the sacraments. It's not that the place or the building or even the congregation can save you. Of course not. We don't have that power. The building doesn't have that power. But that's where God pays special attention and gives special visits to his pilgrim people in the wilderness and to nourish them. A place prepared for her in the wilderness where she'll be nourished for 1,260 days. Now, congregation, it's coming up to vacation time again where people tend to skip church more. Well, we're on vacation. Need a vacation from work, but you should never take a vacation from church. You need that place in the desert prepared for you, where God nourishes you. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, as some are in the habit of doing, says the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 25. But encourage one another, and all the more as the day gets closer, the day of judgment. It becomes more and more urgent. Psalm 73 says that when you're in the sanctuary, when we go up to God on the Lord's Day, we're near to God. That is, there's a special nearness to God that we experience in the gathered assembly, going up to heaven, than we do at any other time, even though God is always near to us. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, when you are assembled and the power of the Lord Jesus is present, there's a special presence of the power of the Lord Jesus when we're assembled. That's the place. People of God, we need the Lord. We also need the church. I know. She's not impressive, just a ragtag team of ordinary people with weaknesses, problems, and blemishes. We're all in the same spot. The description of the church here isn't that as impressive. The kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ will take over the kingdom of this world. Well, where is the kingdom of our Lord and Christ? She's a woman in the desert. Oh, that's impressive. No, it's not. It is not impressive at all. In the eyes of the world, the church is weak. She's really a big zero. Where's she going? But God is with her. God protects her. God empowers her. God feeds her. And so Psalm 46 also talks about Israel as a woman. God is in the midst of her. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And that's why the kingdom of Christ will win. Just a woman in the desert, but she will win because Christ is our husband, our savior. And we see thirdly, he gave her provision. There in the wilderness, God takes care of her. Notice again in verse 14, the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Taken care of. The verb means to nourish, to raise, to nurture, to feed. And that's what the Lord does. Through His Son Jesus, through the Spirit's power, He takes care of us for a time, times and a half a time. Say, that's weird language. What's that? That's symbolic for 1 year, 2 years and a half a year, 3.5 years. Well, that's still weird. Well, that's the same as 1260 days. Well, that's still weird. Well, that's the same chapter 11 of as 42 months. That's still weird. But that's the symbolic language for the time, 42 months, when the nations of the world trample the courts of the holy city. It's the time when the church is sent out in the Great Commission. It's the time of persecution. It's really the time of the whole millennium, from the time Jesus ascended to the time Jesus will return. It seems long, but it's just 3.5 years symbolically. God's going to cut it short. And He's going to come back when we least expect Him, like a thief in the night. But until then, He's going to take care of the woman in the wilderness. He's going to nourish you, nurture you, feed you, supply you, give you everything you need. So think about it. About 2,000 years ago, or 1,989 years ago, if Jesus ascended in year 30, then 1,989 years ago, the church was one little congregation in Jerusalem, 120 souls meeting in the upper room. Now she numbers billions, gathered in millions of congregations all over the world. This woman in the wilderness, how she has grown, how she has flourished. I can't understand it, except it's God's grace. In spite of the persecutions, major ones, in spite of her own sins, in spite of heresies, in spite of troubles, sickness. And what's the food? Well, in the Old Testament, the food in the wilderness was manna from heaven and water from the rock. And there are both pictures of Christ. He's the heavenly bread who's come down to us. He's the living water who's come down to us. Jesus said, I am the manna that has come down from heaven, the true manna. I am the living water. And at the Lord's Supper, Jesus reminds us of the one and only food that we need to make it the whole way. And that's Christ crucified and risen from the dead. The church is tempted to look for her life and strength and all other kinds of things. As the devil spews water out of his mouth, lies. The earth gobbles up those lies, and God feeds us with the gospel. As Paul says to the Corinthians, I resolve to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. And at the table, Jesus says, this bread is my body, which is given for your sins. This wine is the new covenant in my blood, which I poured out for you on the cross. I, Jesus Christ, crucified for your sin, raised from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, and now reigning at God's right hand, I am the only one you need. And I'm the one you need all the time, every day. I am your food and drink unto life eternal. What I did for you at the cross saves you and keeps you saved the whole way. Sometimes the church gets tempted to leave the gospel and say, well, we've been there. That's old hat. Let's look for new things. Brothers and sisters, while we must always go for a deeper and deeper understanding of the gospel, we must never leave it behind. That must be our mainstay, our food and drink, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We always need the forgiveness of sins that comes out of the cross every day. We always need the righteousness of Jesus Christ that comes out of His perfect obedience every day. I need to be covered with that every day. Every day I sin and I fall short of the glory of God. Every day I do not do all that God commands me to do. I need His perfect righteousness. I need His perfect sacrifice. And every day, what He did at the cross is there for me and is enough for me. That's how He nourishes and feeds you today. Come to me, said Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. Lord, we see how the saints in the past overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By your blood, Jesus, and by their trusting in you alone, testifying to you, they were fed, they were strengthened, they were given grace even to die for the gospel. The church was preserved, protected, strengthened. Do that again today, here in this place, at this table, among this people. Nourish the woman in the wilderness so that we may carry on in the journey to be salt and light, to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, and to trust him the whole way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.